Well,
no, there is a report out there that furniture did move at some point in the clubhouse afterwards. Yeah. Depending on whether you want to believe that.
No, I heard that there were some people who talked to him about it. It wasn't no furniture. We would have heard more. We'd have heard more.
We might.
I'm sorry. You can go 100%. That is a hell of a leap.
It's not what that.
The big leap is your side.
The big leap is your side.
What am I leaping? You're leaping from somebody who.
Yeah, okay,
right, yeah, man.
It's your show. I won't take it over. But I'll just leave you.
No,
I'll just leave you with this. if he didn't throw it on purpose, if it was an accident, how come he didn't go? My bad. Sorry about that. He turned around and walked away, pissed off.
Yeah, I think that is the worst look of it. I think he was, why did the catcher start walking out there going, hey man, what the hell's going on? I think he was extremely frustrated about the whole situation.
I'm going to overtalk you like you do. If it was an accident, how come the catcher walked out there and
John, you just said the same damn thing you just said. Do you want me to respond to it or you want to just keep talking?
No, and then he looked at the dugout like, what the hell's going on?
And they all just sat on their asses, and nobody did nothing. Everybody just said, go ahead and throw the next pitch.
They did until the end of the game.
Right? Nobody did nothing.
Have a good show.
Nobody did nothing. They just sat there. They just said, all right, man. Ain't nobody going to go ahead and talk to him? Carlos ain't going to go to say nothing to him? Penny ain't going to say nothing to him? They're just going to let him go and throw the next pitch after he intentionally threw at his teammate? And we got a whole bunch of bitches around there then. If that's where you are, excuse my French.
I'm just saying,
it is a hell of a claim to say, hey man, that dude went out there, man. I'm gonna drill this cat. I'm gonna put injury on the table with this cat.
I think
that's a hell of a claim.
There might have been an appeal to decorum happening, like, all right, we'll handle this, behind closed doors.
If he did that on purpose, we're past decorum.
For some people, I think
we're past the quorum. Pitching coach ain't even gonna come out there and say nothing to him. They just gonna let him here, man. You go ahead and do it. Gonna keep going. Ain't nobody gonna say nothing to him? If we all sit over here, all of us out here think, damn, he did that on purpose.
Yeah.
He hit him on purpose. Yeah. Whatever. He ain't been rolling around being Draymond Green for 5 years. And just all of a sudden, he's come out here. Yeah, he's throwing guys under the bus. Now he's hitting people on purpose on his team. His ass needs to be suspended at this.
I'm excited to hear more of this conversation as the drive rolls on. I didn't even get to ask Clint about the Tom Brady thing because someone came after me talking about I feel like I know more than Tom Brady. I'll say that for later.
Let's do it. I'm always in, man. I'm not sure what you're referring to, but I'm in.
All right. I got a minute. Tom Brady was on Chris Sims' podcast, and he said that he feels like quarterbacks right now aren't as
100%. He's right.
You think he's right? I feel like he's neglecting how defenses have advanced from that time period where he was early on.
I think he followed it up by saying that they're physically probably more gifted because they've been getting trained since they were 5 years old. But yeah, there's no doubt that college football has trickled into the NFL, and a part of that is making it as easy on the quarterback as you possibly can versus forcing quarterbacks to sit in the pocket and learn a pro-style offense and throw the route tree and go through progressions. I think there's been an effort to make the game simpler, to make the transition for quarterbacks simpler, and I think the result is, I think you got quarterbacks that aren't as cerebral or as advanced mentally as quarterbacks used to be.
All right, quarterback told me. All right, we did it. Listening to KLTAM.
Did you disagree?
I disagreed. I thought that there was a neglecting of some of the other things.
Well, there's some conversations to be. That's a good conversation.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I hope you guys have it. Have a good one. You're listening to KLTAM, KLTFM, HD2 Houston, and Odyssey Sports Station right now. The drive is live.
The drive is live. A lot going on today besides the Framber stuff. We will get to that. I guess we already got to it. But we will get to it some more. We'll get these fellas' thoughts. I see a lot of people texting in. Ron would argue with a damn fire hydrant. If someone texted in, I mean, hell, I didn't bring it.
That's weird. They must be from Kansas City and saw you practicing when you were younger. Younger Ron, that's what he practiced. How'd y'all know, man?
That was
Ron would stand out there and argue
mirrors,
with
man.
The, yeah,
I would get
man.
Down. I would get down.
Get down there and face that old fire.
A lot to get to. D'Amico Ryans, we will carry him live coming up here in the 2 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. And what a day to have Robert Flores on. I heard them on MLB Central talking about it. We'll get his thoughts on everything with the Astros.
And
let's just be honest, the Framber Valdez situation. And it is Wednesday, so we'll also hear from C.J. Stroud a little bit later on and our Texans report with our guy Brandon Scott coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. So a lot going on here. And by the way, also, come hang out with us tomorrow. The season is back, so that means each and every Thursday we're out at Buffalo Wild Wings. And this Thursday, coming up tomorrow, a little thirsty Thursday, starting at 2 o'clock, we will be in Cyprus, 25704 US 290 in Cyprus. So come hang out with us for a little thirsty Thursday tomorrow. All right, here is Joe Espada. Let's hear the manager from last night. After meeting with Salazar and Framber Valdez, this was Joe Espada on the situation that everybody's talking about in the game in the fifth inning with the Astros.
You know what? I think it did. It's not the first that happened. You know, that pitch comp could be an issue. But I got to talk to, you know, Sally about it because he kind of looked like he got crushed up.
All right. That was Espada's explanation. I spoke through the crosstalk. Clint, Tyler, Clint, you can have at it. Your thoughts on what you saw last night.
Yeah, I think Fromber's a child. I think he's shown signs of it in the past. It's been minimal and not caused any riff and has not been a major ordeal, but it's been there. It's been present. And I think it came to a head last night. I think it came to a head when he's getting shelled is the first problem. And number two, the way that he responded. I think for me here, this isn't about the intent. Like I don't think Framber Valdez stood up there and said, I'm going to intentionally bean his ass for calling whatever call he played.
He would do it a hitter.
I don't think he intentionally did that. I think he got frustrated like a child does.
I agree.
And I think he got up there and did something stupid like a child does and then goes into the clubhouse and thinks that we're going to apologize, you know, publicly or in the clubhouse, and we met on it and everybody's going to sweep it under the rug like I do and like my wife does with my 3.5-year-old child when she says, oh, I'm sorry for hitting my sister and I'm going to walk on and I'm going to hit her again here in 2 seconds. I'm not really sorry, but we're going to sweep it under the rug because we apologized and because it's in the past kind of deal. I just think Framber is an absolute child. I think Framber intentionally stood up there and did not step off the rubber the first time when his catcher was clearly telling him, two hands in the air, hey, back off. Whether it's I can't hear you, don't throw the pitch, I don't know what pitch you're throwing, your catcher has two hands in the air and is saying back off the rubber and you throw a pitch anyway, right? And I think he intentionally made that decision. That ball, I believe, is the one that got hit out of the park.
That's the one that Grissom hit out.
And then I believe that he stood up there, and I believe he intentionally, out of frustration, again, being a child, I think he stood up there and said, F it, I'm finna throw this pitch, man. I ain't listening to nothing. I'm fixing to throw this pitch. And he crossed his catcher up in the meantime, and he put the catcher in harm's way as a result of him intentionally making piss-poor decisions. I don't think he went up there and was gonna, like, I'm fixing to hit this dude. I mean, you could hit that guy in the neck or something and injure him significantly. I don't think he stood up there and said, I'm gonna injure a teammate. And that's why, like, I think talking about intentionally hurting a teammate, to me, is, I'm not interested in that conversation. But if you want to talk about how immature it is and how childish it is to stand up there multiple times and not do the right thing when you are the veteran, when you are quote-unquote the ace, when you are a guy that has been in extremely high-leverage situations, to not be the guy that the first time your catcher throws his hands up, to step off the rubber, call your catcher out there and say, hey, young fella, you're a reserve, man. Get your ass behind the plate, and when I shake you off, I'm going to tell you what pitch I'm going to throw.
Yeah, that's what he did without doing any of the calling
right,
him out.
Right,
sit down
right,
that, and catch, and I'm going to throw the pitch.
Yeah, that's what a mature leader, a mature professional does, is the first time when your catcher's got two hands in the air, you get it settled. You don't let it go and snowball into what we're now dealing with. And look, here's the situation for me. is I've never been a professional baseball player. I've never been in a clubhouse with a professional Major League Baseball team. I have been in professional sports. You don't get called into the manager's office for getting crossed up. You don't get called into the manager's office because we've got I hit the wrong button, coach. My bad. Catcher hit the wrong button on his pitch comm. You don't get called into the office because, hey, man, got a little sideways with the catcher even. This obviously escalated. It was a big deal on the field. It obviously escalated to some degree beyond the field to a point where a manager, and we ain't even talking about a hard-ass manager. We're talking about a player's manager in Joe Espada, has to call these two into a meeting so that they can hash it out and apologize. Make of it what you will. It doesn't matter to me, but the reality of it is it's hard for me to go, oh, this was just a simple old cross-up, or this was a simple noise issue, or a simple hit-the-wrong-button issue, because if that's the case, hell, before we get to the stairs in the dugout, it's like, hey, man, my bad, I hit the wrong button, or hey, man, my bad, it's this or that. Like, if you got to go to the manager's office and hash this thing out, I think it's a bigger deal than what the team is obviously going to paint it to be. And bottom line for me is, Fromber is a child. And that is, again, we've seen glimpses of it. Not a major ordeal. Fun to chop it up on the radio and talk about it. And, hey, man, and Correa can correct it on the mound when he's there, whatever, whatever. I think it all just came to a head at this point in time. And it unfortunately, or fortunately, nobody was hurt. But unfortunately, it's kind of the talk of Major League Baseball right now, yeah, with the way it looked.
I agree with a lot of what you said. Do you? I just want to get an understanding. Do you believe on the particular pitch that he got crossed up on, do you believe that Salazar thought a curveball or something else was coming and Fromber purposely threw something different?
I think Fromber stood up there and threw his pitch and didn't listen to what the hell the catcher was saying. Yes. Yeah, I think that is very clear that catcher thought something else was coming.
Yeah, the catcher thought something else was coming.
And I'll be honest with you, I do think the seconds immediately following that are very, very important. Again, I mean, if you're a veteran, hell, if you're any pitcher, if you just got a damn heart, for being honest, I mean, you throw a pitch up there like that and you see it unfold. I mean, the first thing you do is like, hey, man, my bad, bro. That's some bull. My bad, man. I screwed up. That's me. That's on me, man. Right. But you turn your head and again, you're staring right at the camera and appear to be unbelievably frustrated. You got zero interest in going up there. And hey, let's say you don't give a rip that you just could have hurt him. You got zero interest in going up there and straightening stuff out. Right. And then Salazar getting up and throwing his hands up and being like not throwing his hands up, but being like, hey, man, I don't know if he was going, hey, let's talk about it, or hey, what the hell are you doing? But yeah, look, I think at the end of the day, I don't know what the intentions were. But you can't tell me that Fromber Valdez, after that entire situation, didn't know that whether it was the pitch comm's fault or they were on the same wrong page or whatever. You can't tell me Fromber Valdez stood up there and felt really good about whatever pitch he was going to throw next. I think he was frustrated and pissed off
from the jump. I'm just simply saying I don't believe he, like, to me, it would, if it was as clear cut as many people and attention and everything clear cut, then we should have some, like, there should be some serious consequences levied towards him, because that's like Draymond punching out Jordan Poole in his face. Yeah. That is over the top, and the reaction should have been immediate
I think you bring up a very good point with Carlos Correa.
I just can't believe he would have stood over there and it's right in his face.
Yeah. Yeah, it would not, like, Carlos is not going to show up a teammate, show up a veteran. But to your point, even if it were just a going to the mound and going, hey, man, what the hell are you doing, man? Not a jumping and screaming and causing a scene, but just a, hey, man, let's settle it. Somebody could settle this thing down a little bit.
Somebody. I think that was just very odd to me.
No, I think that's a really, really good point of, like, I wasn't aware of those guys having the pitch comm in their ear as well and having a firsthand account of what the hell was going on here. I think he intentionally made some piss poor decisions.
I think he was pissed off. He had to throw to Salazar to begin with.
Yes,
because I think we understand he did weird things with Yiner, like young catchers that he doesn't trust, that he feels like he is, which is not foreign. I think there are other catchers you have to work with. Yeah. That's why Verlander refused to work with anybody else but Maldi, right? Like, I think he was probably pissed off in a big game he had to do that. And then you're getting up, raving your hands. No, sit your ass down. I'm throwing the pitch. I know these hitters better than you do, right? And I think he was wrong for that. And I think it really looks bad that his frustration, that he was so pissed off that he doesn't spin around it and doesn't apologize, he says, until he gets into the dugout. But to look at him and say, I got his ass here. I'm going to teach him a lesson here.
I'm going to
break a rib here.
Well, now you're getting it. You know, I mean, to me, if that's the point, like you're getting into his head and you're saying like he wanted to intentionally hurt somebody. Now we're going beyond the diamond. I mean, now you're using potentially a weapon to hurt somebody severely. Like I don't think he did that. I think his, once again, what we've seen multiple times with Fromber, where the hothead is an issue, the keeping things together in adverse moments is an issue. Again, I think you make a great point of not wanting to throw to a young catcher, an inexperienced catcher, in a monster game, in a contract year, knowing the team that you're pitching for is not going to give you the money. There's definitely, right, or maybe some.
Probably thought the game was over.
Played some runners. Yeah, look, I think there's some very, like some layers to it, no doubt. But ultimately, I think the all-encompassing thing for me is that Fromber is a child. Fromber is the one that in this situation should be bigger and better. Fromber is the one that has been in high leverage situations. And if you're really about winning and about doing what this organization has always been about, you step off the bump, you go up there, you talk to your catcher, you get things right. You don't even throw the pitch that you gave it the grand slam to. You get your ass off the bump and you go figure it out with your catcher and you be the pro that you are and the beast that you are and you get out of it. Right, but instead, this all unfolds. I think this is what I can't speak for Tyler, but I like this is my hesitation with Fromber. You and I've had it a million times about, hey, ace this, ace that. Who's the ace? We did it with Verlander. We're doing it with Hunter Brown. But the reason those conversations exist, it's not a numbers thing. The reason that the conversations of is Fromber Valdez really an ace? The reason they exist is because what we saw last night come to a head, I think, is always just kind of lingering with this guy. And last night it came to a head in a way to where it a reserve catcher, you're up there at odds with him. That was a bad look, man.
All right, coming up, we look and hope to hear from D'Amico Ryans. We'll carry that as they get ready for the Rams live for you. As we continue, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, do you think after having some time to look at, you think Fromber Valdez intentionally threw the ball at Salazar? Do you think it was intentional? We'll continue coming up next on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, a big day here as D'Amico and C.J. Stroud will meet with the media. We'll get you to them when we're able to hear from them coming up from NRG here soon. Also, Robert Flores, MLB Network, he will join us. Again, the big news of the day, the Fromber Valdez situation. Did he or did he not? Was it a cross-up? Did he do it on purpose? Did he intentionally throw at his young catcher, Cesar Salazar? Both guys were pulled into the manager's office with Joe Espada. Dana Brown on the flagship said for us not to dwell on this. We should move forward. And it doesn't appear that any kind of consequences, I don't know, maybe he'll have to run the stairs or something at the Daikin Park. I don't know if we're still doing that.
Imagine how much sweat that would be.
Yeah, he'd be bringing it. All right, Tyler, you're in here. What's your thoughts on it? Because I know we've talked before the show. You had some passion. I'll get to some of the thoughts. Someone on the text line said, you two guys really acted like children. It was John was obviously pissed at the other guy who wouldn't let him get a word in edgewise. John talked the whole time. What are you talking about? And Clint didn't say anything. If you're some children, you got to be talking about me because you don't agree with me. John, John's the one said, I'm going to talk over you. Nobody was even talking. Just kept saying the same thing. But Tyler, what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I just, man, I think there's too much evidence there. We've seen Framber and talked about Framber multiple times over the last two, three, four baseball seasons about our worry with his mentals. With this guy upstairs, up top, we see him crumble. And going into this season, all we ever saw was Framber self-destruct and hurt himself, really. I mean, yeah, hurt the team by giving up a bomb or something once his mentals go up off the tracks, but
it just pitch worse.
Every year was just, man, worried about this guy, this issue with him up top in that dome. But this year, I feel like we're just steadily more and more, as this season progresses, seeing evidence of these more, lack of a better term, diva tendencies from Framber. Whether it's, you know, looking out in the outfield after a base hit and clearly frustrated with where he thought the outfielder should be positioned at, or commenting on that very thing after the game in the post game, as a manager, talking about the positioning of the outfielders, or not backing up home plate on the relay throw home. All that's kind of been building to this moment. And then when we get to this moment and I see what happened and everything that entailed, I cannot help but think that Framber Valdez absolutely got frustrated and did something real stupid on the mound last night.
Which is throw at it. Throw
yes, it. Intentionally. Yeah. And it just stinks too much, man. I mean, between the, like, getting pulled in the manager's office for what I can only assume is a game plan of what we're going to say and how we're going to handle this because it looked so bad. I can't see it any other way than Framber just crumbling mentally yet again, but this time taking it a step further.
Am I tripping to think if it was intentional, like many, I would say the vast majority of people that we are getting response from, that the Astros would do something? Like there would be some sort of a consequence? Like what? I'm just saying, for how serious this is.
To be honest with you, I don't know, because the Astros, I don't think, have had to deal with this kind of situation since I've been covering the team on a day to day basis.
Well, yeah, I don't know who's dealt with this throwing at a catcher.
Well, that's the other part of this thing, guys. Is like any way you want to slice it about Framber Valdez, this is something that I think the Astros organization, top to bottom, has prided themselves on not having in their clubhouse. Look, we can say it's out of frustration or it's been building and it just popped, whatever. But like, to me, this is something, having situations where you got to call into the manager's office, or calling, you know, situations where whatever happens and for whatever reason it happened, you know, you got a young catcher in here that's trying to do the best he possibly can. And he's taking one off the damn arm kind of deal. Like, I think this organization has prided itself on not having these types of things involved in their day-to-day operations. And so there's another layer to it there with Framber. At the end of the day, Framber Valdez, there is a lack of professionalism.
That is very fair.
And I think Tyler laid him out, you know, perfectly. Of kind of how there's been signs over and over and over and over and over again, and now here this is lit Major League Baseball media on fire talking about this one. So
I mean, Phil Jackson at least kicked Michael out of practice when he punched Steve Kerr. I mean, there was at least a consequence.
Yeah, to circle back to your question, I don't know. I mean, what is the best? It is. I mean, you got to think that it is a reserve catcher that's not going to be a part of this thing moving forward. It is Framber Valdez, who they've probably been managing some of these tendencies that we didn't even know about up to date. And then it is a pitcher that, let's be honest, I mean, love it or hate it, this team in 2025 is banking on Framber Valdez, the good Framber Valdez, you know, coming back around for late season and for the playoffs. And ultimately, the ability to win the playoffs is going to hinge significantly on Framber Valdez. And so, I don't know.
I'm not saying suspending for the year. I would think there's got to be a consequence. The, hey, man, handshake, shake up with you. Yeah. When you put somebody in your own teammate.
But Ron, you do anything. To me, the fear with Framber, I agree with you. It's not a, hey, you're out for two weeks. I mean, it's not that, but... But it is, if there's any level of discipline whatsoever, a guy like Framber, who clearly is on the edge, right, is like, you may lose him.
Yeah, but
I mean,
if,
you
but
may lose him for the season.
But, so Clint, I think, but Clint, if we've gotten to a point that he's been on the edge and the way you've been managing this, and then it results into this deal, and we just keep kind of like, if he did this on purpose, his ass, because I think the rest of the team's got to be be smoking hot at him.
Yeah, but the rest of the team also knows that you got him and Hunter, and that's your two guarantees right there. That's your chance to get this thing done in 2025. I look, if it's me, I'm figuring out the best way to handle this thing for two more months. I mean, that for me, that's where I'm at with Fromber is if I'm Joe Espada, hey, right now, if not disciplining this guy, in my mind, with my experience with him, if zero discipline is based on my experience with him, if zero discipline is the path of least resistance to get this guy back to where he can pitch and win games for us, which I think he will as long as you leave him alone, that's it. I mean, I'm doing whatever I got to do to get Fromber Valdez through this season and give us a chance to win some ball games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kick Rock says pillowcases full of bars of soap. Okay.
That'd be a rough.
Kick Rock said, "What is your punishment then? If he did this on purpose, I would suspend him. I would suspend him for a good two starts. If he intentionally threw at a teammate.
Yeah."
Right, if he intentionally threw at Aaron Judge last night, and the league thought that he would miss a start. If you're going to intentionally just like say I have no regard at all about the health of my catcher, my teammate, dude, because I got mad because I gave up a grand slam. Your ass got to sit down. You got to sit down. Hell. You just gave up six anyway. your ass got if he did that on purpose, because you got young guys like Yiner who are going to be guys that are going to be here for a while. You hope you got young guys like Cam Smith who are going to be here for a while. Paredes who you hope is going to be here for a while. Jake Meyer, all of these guys that are going to be here past the time that Fromber is here, and you're just going to say, "Hey man, yeah man, dude can go and just light up a teammate on purpose, man," and he just gets to apologize and just hey, let's keep going, man. I don't know. Not with that. All right. Hopefully we get to hear from D'Amico Ryans coming up soon, but let's go around from a national standpoint. Robert Flores, arm on MLB Central with several former baseball players. We'll get his thoughts on everything with the Astros and Fromber Valdez. That's next.
Astros ain't loyal.
Some people need to get those verbal hands every now and then. In fact, more often than not.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, been a fun first hour. We'll hear from D'Amico and C.J. Stroud coming up as they are going to be speaking at some point live at NRG, getting prepared for the Rams in week one coming up on Sunday. But, boy, we didn't know once we were able to, and Tyler doing his work, able to get Roflo in, but we didn't know he was going to have a national story right now with the Astros, but we do. And here's our guy, Houston's own Robert Flores. He joins us, co-host of MLB Network's MLB Central weekdays, 9 a.m. Central, alongside Mark DeRosa and Lauren Shahadi. And the program will be going on through the World Series this year. All right, I heard you all talking about it a little bit. I like how DeRosa blamed Anthony Volpe for taking a 93-mile-an-hour fastball right down the pipes, and if he hit this, nobody would have known anything. But your thoughts, I know you were kind of playing quarterback in that situation. Your thoughts on what happened with the Fromber situation?
Well, look, we have to take Fromber Valdez and Cesar Salazar at their words, and particularly Fromber. He said he didn't do it on purpose. Cesar also took ownership of the situation, and granted, those comments came after what I'm sure was a very interesting meeting in Joe Espada's office immediately after the game. However, that being said, we have seen Fromber And look, this is a player and a man that wears his emotions on his sleeve. And I'm sure that that serves him well. And he's had a fantastic career. And he's been a big part of this Astros run of recent success. But the optics sure don't look good. When you see that pitch that he delivers and it ends up hitting Cesar Salazar right in the chest and he immediately turns his back, that didn't look good. And like I said, we've seen him have issues with his emotions. He's an emotional player, and oftentimes that's good. I'm not so sure that this particular instance was one of those cases. But at the same time, he says it wasn't intentional. We have no choice but to take him for his word. But I will say, it sure didn't look great.
Roflo, I think, to me, the conversations that I've heard leading up to this, and even some Ron and I've had, it's the intent to hurt someone is the wrong conversation. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. Hell, you ought to be damn near arrested if you had intents of hurting that man back there. Like, you know what I mean? Throwing
right.
90 plus at him. Like, but the intent to throw whatever pitch he wanted to throw, the intent to decide to start your windup or start towards the plate, not knowing whether the pitch had been communicated squarely. The intent to continue to get frustrated, even though your catcher's back there throwing both hands up going, wait a minute, let's talk about this. Like, the intent to do all those things is without a doubt there. Now, you got to climb in the guy's head and see if he's half nuts to think that he'd throw 91 at somebody not knowing what was coming to hurt him. But, like, the intent to do those things was there, and that's the part to me that at the end of the day, Framber Valdez has to be better than that. Framber Valdez has to be the professional in that situation, Roflo, where he goes, hey, young fella, come out here for a second. Let me tell you something. I'm Framber Valdez. Get your ass back down there, squat behind the plate, and whatever pitch I want to throw, I'm going to throw, and we're going to get this thing figured out. That's the bigger story for me as an Astros fan is, does Framber Valdez have the ability to stay dialed in and stay right to help this team potentially win a damn World Series this year?
Well, look, I will say that he has done that. He was on the mound for that closeout game in 2022 and pitched his tail off against the Phillies. However, there have been instances where it has not been. I always say there's a what are we getting? Are we getting good Framber or bad Framber tonight? We have seen him not being able to field his position, and that begins a spiraling. We've seen him give up runs, and that begins a spiraling, a downward spiral on the mound. Then again, we've also seen him, heck, just two starts ago, his last start before last night with, oh, by the way, Cesar Salazar behind the plate.
Rockies.
Seven shutout innings. So it is a bit of a roller coaster ride. But the other thing that I think that needs to be mentioned here, and we mentioned it on our show this morning, is Framber Valdez and Cesar Salazar aren't the only players with pitch com in that infield.
Yep.
Right?
Carlos Correa's got it. I can't believe he would just stand there. If
Carlos Correa has it. Jeremy Pena, I believe, has it. And if you look at the high home video, I believe you can see both Jeremy and Carlos shuffle to their right right before the pitch, which to me indicates that they're waiting for something, that they are anticipating something off speed. That's last level of baseball I played was freshman year in high school. So
no, Roflo, don't you do that. That's investigative discovery type stuff right there, man. You're talking my language. Hell, we can make a mystery, murder mystery out of this now. Come on.
So, look, the games get loud and things happen and there are miscommunications, but like I said, Framber and Cesar aren't the only ones that had pitch com. Last night. So the other thing I think that needs to be mentioned is you mentioned young fella calling Cesar Salazar. This was only, I believe, his 15th start in the big leagues behind the plate. And the optics of it, Framber's got to take, he's got to be the bigger person out there and take ownership and just say, hey, okay, we're not on the same page. Come on, Let's come out for a mountain.
His thought, Roe Flow, which I think some veterans will be, was sit your ass down and I'm throwing the pitch. Right. I think that was that, especially when he tried to wave him off right before the Grand Slam. No, man, I got it. You sit back. I got it. I know these hitters better than you do.
I don't pretend to try to minimize, or I'm not trying to minimize the stakes that these guys play on and play for on a nightly basis. But I do know that a big part of success, from having worked with so many former successful big leaguers, you got to be able to control your emotions. Mm. And unfortunately, that is something that Fromber has struggled with. He's had success with it, but he's also failed at it. And you know what? That's like a lot of us, but he's got to find a way to be a little bit more consistent in that regard.
Now, Roe Flow, Robert Flores joins us. You can catch him every single morning, MLB Central, 9 a.m. Central, along with his co-host Mark DeRosa, Lauren Shahadi. And it'll be running through the World Series this year, so stay tuned every single morning for MLB Central. Listen, the other part that was overshadowed is, because of this Framber situation that happened, that one run that they put up, that's followed by multiple shutouts here in the last couple of weeks, and them struggling to score runs, and maybe the pressure that starters are feeling, to where maybe Framber, he thought the game was over after he gave up that grand slam due to the issues with them scoring runs. That is as big of an issue as anything else in terms of them trying to win a championship, their issues at the plate.
Well, look, I know in this homestand in particular, they have struggled mightily with runners in scoring position. And look, I believe that that's a combination of, the opposing pitchers make a pitch. And sometimes that happens. This is the big leagues. But I do feel like once you get a string of guys not coming through with men on base, then it becomes contagious. And right now they're going through it. If you look at the high watermark of this season, that's when they swept the Dodgers in Los Angeles right before the All-Star break, I believe. They have been, I'm almost certain, a below 500 team. And we are over a month removed since the All-Star break. So that for me is the most concerning part. You want to be playing your best baseball right now, as you get ready to, you know, for the stretch run and for hopefully a deep postseason run. And right now they are far from that.
Roe Flow, what about on a positive note here? This past weekend was obviously you split with the Angels, but the past weekend in terms of the Astros getting whole again was big. You had Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, and Spencer Arrighetti all have really, really solid outings. I mean, hell, solid to great outings. Which was desperately needed for the Astros. I know as an Astros fan, for me, it was needed. I was losing sleep over what the hell are we going to do beyond them top two horses. But this was how big a week you think that was, or weekend you think that was, for the Astros on that front?
Significant, really significant. I mean, when you consider the problems that they are having with two areas for me, their offense, which has been virtually non-existent for stretches, especially here recently, but also the bridge to get to Abreu. You know, Brian Abreu can close games. He's done it before. He's got elite stuff. He's among the strikeout leaders among relief pitchers. That's Brian Abreu in the ninth inning. That's not the problem for me. Who's got the seventh and who's got the eighth? Those are the issues for me. So if you can get some length from guys like Javier, from Arrighetti, from Garcia, that is a big, big boost. And look, just circling back to Fromber, if he's going to be this wildly inconsistent, and I'm referring to the time even before the little drama last night, then the Astros aren't going anywhere. I mean, they're just not. You can't expect Hunter Brown and then Jason Alexander and then Javier, who's been off for a year plus, for Garcia has been gone 2 years, that's why you've got to have those two horses, as you call them. They've got to be excellent at the top, and then everyone else has to fill in behind them.
All right, real quick before you leave, you've worked and talked with a lot of former players. Is the vast majority of them saying it was done on purpose?
I don't want to betray their confidence, so I'll just say that it raised eyebrows. I'll just leave it at that.
All right, Roflo.
I mean, I don't know what else to say. So, is the Texans' offensive line going to be any better this year? Or
they think so?
Okay.
Hey, we'll see Sunday, baby. We're going to see Sunday. The talk is big now.
They're all fixable.
There you go. Hey, at least we're not Cowboys fans, right?
There you go. Come on. There you go. All right, Roflo, that's Robert Flores.
All right, guys.
Check him out every single weekday, MLB Central on MLB Network. Coming up, we will hear from D'Amico Ryans at NRG as they get set for Game 1, Texans-Rams. That's coming up next.